This evening's scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20, the second part of 20, through chapter 6, verse 10. You can find that on 181 in the Bibles in your pews if you want to follow along. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacles in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and see we are alive, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. God's word for God's people. Whenever we look at scripture, you know, there's a whole lot in here, and boy, there's all kinds of point counterpoints going on there, you know, and sleepless nights and hunger, purity, knowledge. Well, that's not really a point counterpoint, but you get my meaning there. There's stuff that goes back and forth. And so I look at this and go, well, there's a lot of things to talk about there. I've got to pick something. And whenever we read a passage of Scripture, you may notice that something bounces out, just comes right at you, and then you ignore the rest of the stuff that is being read out loud or that you're reading, and you go back and say, oh, I missed that part. And so what stuck out for me was something that I really just preached about just a few weeks ago using some similar terms. And so we're going to do a little review based on now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. See, I really do love time. I love time travel movies. You ever watch time travel movies? Got a favorite? Name one. Back to the Future. How 1980s of you. Cool. Any others? H.G. Wells, The Time Machine. The one from 1960, not so much the one from 2005, but kind of the one from 2005. Yeah, no. Any others? Other good time travel movies? You've missed the best one of all time. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yes, the best one, the best time travel movie of all time. It's in my top five movies of my favorites. It used to be number one until Walk the Line, the Johnny Cash movie, took its place. So I guess it's number two. I remember watching The Time Machine on Family Classics on WGN. I've seen Back to the Future many, many, many times, and I've seen the two sequels, and you always go back to the first one because it was the best one. I've, of course, seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I've read the book, The Time Traveler's Wife. It's going to be a movie next year. It was supposed to be a movie this year, but they couldn't get it all timed out properly, so it's going to come out next year. I love Quantum Leap, the television show, time travel TV show. I liked Time Cop. It was not just a movie. It was about a 10-episode TV show back in the 90s sometime. There was a movie or a TV show called Time Tracks. You remember that? See, all these, if it had to do with time and it was a TV show or a movie, I have probably seen it. Although I just noticed yesterday at the video store, there's a new one with Dolph Lundgren. Something about time. It's 2284 and the people are sick and they have to go back. The people who are immune have to go back in time. Sounds a lot like Millennium. The Cheryl Ladd movie, another time one. Terminator, the Terminator movies, time travel, and the TV show that's on right now, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, came out last year. All this, I'm just a cornucopia of knowledge about time travel kinds of movies and TV and all that stuff. And last year, at about this time, I found out that there is a real live scientist named Ronald Mallett. Ever heard of this guy? Ronald Mallett is trying to create time travel. He spoke at Waubonsie Community College, I found out, the day after he was there, and I went to see him because I thought it was the day of, and apparently he hasn't invented time travel yet because my time was one day off. But this he wrote a book called The Time Traveler, A Scientist's Personal Mission to Make Time Travel a Reality. And Spike Lee has optioned the rights to that. I don't know if it'll be a movie or not. It's sort of like this scientific-y, not scientific-y book. It's like this man's journey trying to do stuff, and I don't know. It's like he wants to make it real, and he's got these drawings of, you see, there's this spiral thing here, and this is the... And that. He wants there to be real time travel. And all of this time travel stuff has to do with chronological time. Do you remember me talking about chronological time a few weeks ago? No? Good. I can just keep doing it again. Chronological time, chronos, it's... The Greek word that is time that passes, right? Time passes. What song is that? Time passes. Who sings that? Al Stewart. There we go. So time passes. Chronos time. Chronograph, stopwatch, you know, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I said something about that during the sermon too with time. Now you remember? Ringing bells? Okay, so there's chronos time, but then there's another kind of time. Do you remember what it is? Good, I can say it again. Kairos time. Say Kairos. Kairos time is the acceptable time. High time. Time that, like, it's about time that we did that. And in the Bible verse here today where it says, and an acceptable time I have listened to you, and a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency in Kairos time. Chronos time just goes along, and people try to travel backwards, but no one has figured it out yet, except Ronald Mallett is working on it. And all the movies know exactly what happens, but if you go back in time and change something, it affects this. But Kairos time is just now. Now is the time. It's time to do something. Lent has a Kairos time kind of attached to it, because even though it's a journey leading up to Easter, that's a cool sound. I'm making Cheryl laugh. For anyone who's listening now on a recording, there's a cute little baby making raspberries to me. So Kairos time and Lent are connected to each other, because during Lent, it's like we are anticipating this high time of the resurrection, but we're also in high time. It's time to do something. For instance, people say it's time to give up something for Lent. Are you giving something up for Lent this year? Raise your hand if you decided to give up something for Lent. Raise your hand if you don't play those Catholic games. No, I gotta edit that part out. I'm gonna offend someone who's Catholic. No, a lot of times in the Roman Catholic Church, giving up something for Lent is very important. In the Protestant Church, we haven't done it as much, but you still hear people saying giving stuff up for Lent. In 2006, I was on sabbatical from my job as a pastor, and I gave up church for Lent. So I didn't work in a church for all of Lent. Like Ash Wednesday, I started my sabbatical, and I came back Palm Sunday. So I skipped a week. So I gave up something for Lent. It was high time that I had a rest from something. But in Lent, it's like it's high time to stop doing what causes us harm and to start doing what helps us to grow closer to God, helps us to get ready for celebrating the resurrection, helps us to get ready for whatever it is that God wants us to do. But we are Chronos people, aren't we? And even though it's high time to make changes at Lent, we're going to be on this journey. And guess what we're going to do on the journey? We've attempted to give up chocolate for Lent. And on day 3, what do we do? We eat chocolate, yes, because we can't have it. I actually, I hesitate to say this only because there's a Bible verse that says not to say this, but I'm going to say it, and please take it in the spirit in which it's meant. Fasting during Lent is a common occurrence for a lot of people, and fasting is really, it's a way for you to rely on God for strength and for you to focus on your relationship with God instead of eating during that time. So some friends of mine and I are getting together, and we're going to celebrate something called Fast Tuesdays. Instead of Fat Tuesdays, get it? So we're going to fast on Tuesdays. Now, I'm not going to walk around on Tuesdays and say, oh, I'm hungry. And please don't come up to me and say, so you're fasting today? Because that's not really the point there. Scripture is, dare I say, clear, because I always hate it when people say Scripture is clear about this. In Scripture, we learn that when you fast, don't tell people about it. You know, don't make a big deal about it and say, look, I'm fasting. Look, just say something nice to me like, oh, you're doing such a good job. Just like during Lent, during this high time of Lent, if you're giving up something, you can tell people so that they can help you with it, but you don't have to say, I gave up cheeseburgers for Lent. Look at me. Anyone giving up cheeseburgers for Lent? You are. Andrew's giving up cheeseburgers for Lent, or you just made that up just now. Or you decided right now you're giving up, but not hamburgers, just cheeseburgers. In our Lenten journey, we're going to make mistakes. And with the things that we decide to give up for Lent, it's not to put on a show for it. If you want to participate in Fast Tuesdays, that would be great. Just participate in it, you know, fast on Tuesdays. It's a really hard thing to do because you don't eat all day, but it's not hard. You don't have any extra preparation to do. It's just don't eat on Tuesdays. Make sure you have liquids and stuff because you don't want to get sick or anything, but everybody can do a day without food once a week. It's okay to do that, and your metabolism doesn't get messed up by doing that. But I've got some suggestions for, in addition to if you want to do Fast Tuesdays, some things that you could do for Lent. I put them in last year's messenger. I've adjusted them a little bit, and they're in this year's messenger. And I wonder, did you read last year's messenger? And did you do all those things? Do you remember what they were? You read this year's, and it was adjusted from there. So what were some of the things that were listed in this year's messenger for things that you could give up for Lent? Give up not going to church. Yeah, see, it's like a double negative kind of a thing, which is go to church, but give up not going to church is just a fun give up way to do it. Give up missing church is kind of how I wrote it, but yeah, you get the point. You just don't have the script memorized exactly, do you? Give up missing midweek Bible study and worship here. Give up negative talk about politicians you disagree with. That was more appropriate last year, but it's still appropriate now because already, you know, we are in a season where the politicians are arguing with each other about who's right. We're past an election, but so-and-so is doing it wrong. No, they're doing it wrong, but we won, but we're right, but we're, you know, it's still going on. So we could give up talking negatively about politicians we disagree with. We could give up just complaining in general, which is really hard. How many of you didn't complain at all today about anything? Yeah, it's there, look at Mark, says, I didn't complain. How many of you lied today? There we go. But giving up complaining is hard, but we could give up complaining for Lent, and that would be a positive thing, right? It doesn't mean that we have to give up, you know, backbone, but, you know, so we can get things done, but you could give up complaining, or let's call it whining. I'm giving up whining for Lent. Who's ready to give up whining for Lent? Who never whines? Yeah, okay. How about giving up not eating healthier? Every year I say I'm going to eat healthier, and I did a really good job through like the first 4 months of last year. I lost weight and everything, and then bam, I gained it again, and now I've started losing a little bit, but not enough yet. And, you know, but I'm eating a little bit healthier, although that soup was really good tonight, and I'm sure it wasn't good for me and all the foods. But I didn't have dessert. Maureen, you and me, no dessert? Anyone else, no dessert tonight? I'm patting myself on the back, and I shouldn't be doing that. I'm supposed to not say stuff like that. But you remember, what am I? What? No, I'm a big show off. There we go. Okay, I have to own up to that. Pardon? Big ham. Okay, yeah. Ham dinner is April 29th. March 10th is our meeting where we're going to plan it out. So you're all welcome to that one. How about giving up not exercising? Anybody not exercise really well? I'm really good at not exercising. But in 2009, I got a Wii Fit. And so I get up and for 20 minutes in the morning, I play exercise games. It's kind of fun. Are you laughing because you're like, I just could see Pastor Kirk with a Wii Fit. That's so weird. I do the ski jump thing, but Matthew is better than I am. Pardon? No, don't jump on the board. Yes, you played it there. You have to like, you balance right and then you sort of go like this, but you don't leave your feet there because if you do, it like makes you fall and everything. Pardon? Yeah, I bought it for Cassie and I use it more. Well, she asked for it. But I get up every morning. It's my workout thing. It's a lot cheaper than a gym membership and a lot warmer than going outside and running and no impact injuries because you're not allowed to jump. So pretty good. So giving up not exercising. Or how about giving in to the fear of telling others about Jesus and instead sharing your story of faith? That's a really long thing. It's sort of like giving up not doing something else. Or in other words, telling your story. What's God doing in your life? That's what we do as Christians. It's sort of like breathing, you know? It's this thing, we can't go to somebody and say, you need this. You have to do this. This is what I learned at church, and if you don't do this, you're in big trouble. Because that doesn't work. But you can say, here's what I've experienced, and here's what I find valuable. And all that a person can say, if they don't agree with it, is, that's nice. But you've told your story. God gets to do the rest. Just tell your story. Don't complain, because we already got that part there. Give up complaining, but tell your story. Or we could give up giving up. Have you ever just gone, I give up? How many of you did that today? Did you say that today? I give up. Yeah, all the time. You know who doesn't do that? God. Very good, Marianne, thank you. Sometimes the answer is not God, but kids that have been around me or adults that have been around me for years know that if I ever ask a question, oftentimes the answer is God or Jesus. You see it in the children's sermon people are going on, and I'll say, so who loves us? God? Yes, very good. But then I'll trick them sometime and say, you know, who had breakfast today? Jesus? No, you had breakfast today. But we could give up giving up because God does not give up on us, even though it's high time that we make changes in the way we behave. Even though it's high time that we make changes and get ready to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, God is with us in this chronos time, in this journey where we keep making mistakes and God never gives up on us. I wonder, with these things, you know, these giving up missing church, giving up complaining, all that, maybe it sparks some other things. And pay attention to those little sparks there. When we talk about God is still speaking in the United Church of Christ, it's not just the United Church of Christ. As a matter of fact, over the last several weeks, I've heard people from so many different denominations without knowing it, without knowing how connected it was to the UCC, saying things like, God speaks, and we have to listen. We have to listen for those whispers. Or as God speaks, barriers are broken down. Or when God speaks, this and this and this. And as God speaks, I recognize it's not like this audible voice in your ear. Although if God wanted to do that, God could. And if God said to do something that was important or something that made a difference, a positive difference in the world, I'd say go and do it if you heard that audible voice. If a voice came in your ear and you thought it was God and it said to do something awful, that wasn't God. Got that part? I mean, that's simple enough to discover. But these whispers, these moments of, I've got to do something about that. When we are overcome with emotion about things, I've got to make a change. I've got to do something that helps that. That Mother Teresa be the change you want to see in the world? Kind of taking off on Mahatma Gandhi. I just finished reading a book called Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. And in the Messenger article, I quoted a song that's not even published yet, but it's a new one that says, he might ask the same of you. You know, we pray for God to intervene. We say, God, help the poor, help the unseen. You might ask the same of us. So how, in this high time, as we give up stuff for Lent, as we give up positive and negative things, or we do positive things while we give up negative things, how do we give our prayers and our giving up things, how do we give it legs to make a difference in the world? Because I do believe that when we say, God, help the poor in our community to have enough food to eat, God says, give to the food pantry. You know, it doesn't come out like that in your ear, but it's right there in front of you. It's not just a whisper. It's like a God shout. I wish that this. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I could do that. I think that God gets things done in spite of us, but I think God gives us inspiration to do stuff, becoming the answer to our prayers. That it's not always this, whoosh, it just happens. We're here, and God gives us the opportunity to do things. God gives us the ability to do things that change the world, that change our own lives, not just in the season of Lent, which we're going to be living through, journeying through the next 6 weeks, but all the time. And tonight's reading calls us to focus on returning to God. Right at the beginning there, be reconciled to God. God has never left. Even if we feel distant, even if we still feel separated from God, God has never been any nearer or closer than God is right now. But I think that us desiring to be reconciled to God will help us to experience God's presence more fully. And I don't know exactly how that works. I've talked before about thin places where we experience God more fully, where God was never further away. I don't know how it's going to work for any person here. I can tell a little bit how it works as a community, because as a community, as we share our stories, as we invite people to come in, as we say that it's valuable to be part of church, it's valuable to be living in community like this, the community grows closer to God. The community grows closer to each other. The community grows larger. You know, all these things happen. So I can see how it happens in community. I can't describe how it happens for any single person, but I know that God makes it work. God makes this reconciling nature of being reconciled to God, this connection, this feeling more fully connected to God, God makes it work. We can be ready for what God does, what God has done, what God will continue to do. We can let the poetry of God's word kind of run through our heads this whole Lenten season. Psalm 51 is a psalm that we started our service with in our call to worship. It's going to be part tonight of the imposition of ashes as you come forward and come up, and no one is required to get this, and if you think it's weird, you don't have to do it, and if you don't like the ashes on your forehead, you can wash them off, you know, before you leave. It's okay. You can wipe it off. If it tickles, God's not going to get mad. You don't have to go out there and say, look, I've got ashes on my forehead. Think nice thoughts about me. But when you come forward for ashes, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I could say, from ashes you have come, and from ashes you will return. You know, it's the ashes are a reminder of our mortal selves, that our lives end chronologically, but then there is God for eternity. But for this Lent, let's just make it God fill us. But with the words of Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. If you don't want to say that, you can say, God, let me love my brother or sister. Let me love God. Let me love my brother or sister. Love God, love everyone. But create in me a clean heart could be a theme, because it does kind of encompass all these things. What we're giving up, what we're doing, how we're sharing as a community and as individuals. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now is the time. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your love, for this high time, for this urgent time, for time to prepare. Create in us a clean heart, O God. and renew a right spirit in our community and in our individual lives. Amen.